Good morning. We're spending a few weeks exploring God's vision for us. Obviously, we're going to spend our whole lives doing that. But we spent some 40 days in prayer and fasting a few months ago. And we've been looking at that, reflecting on it, looking at the feedback from it. And we've come up with some vision points under the title, Choose God's Way. Every day, choosing God's way every day. And last week, Stuart talked about getting rid of hindrances and walking in freedom. And this week, we're looking at rejecting the fear of people, specifically the fear of people, and walking in fearless obedience to God. It's a big subject. And thank you, band, and thank you, Tim, for such thoughtful song choices, because we've already been singing the message over ourselves. And as Romans 12 says, that we offer our whole bodies as living sacrifices to God. It's our suitable act of worship. But we start with actually what we confess with our mouths. And what we've been singing this morning is pretty much the message that we don't need to be afraid because God is with us. But fear is unnatural. Fear is a natural instinct. It's an animal instinct. It's a human instinct. Fear is the fight or flight instinct. Fear is the instinct to protect ourselves when we feel threatened. And God made us to have these instincts. There are lots of reasons to be afraid of people in particular. And what they can do to us. On a global scale, let's face it, leaders like Donald Trump and Putin and Xi Jinping, or however you pronounce his name, they have the power to impact billions of people's lives and the power to impact our lives. And our country, nationally, we're pretty gripped at the moment. Brexit is gripping us. And the fear of what people can do to us is a very real fear. We are not all a little bit afraid. And the media doesn't make it any easier. Because the media portrays the world kind of as it is. The world is full of the darkness of humanity and the impact of our choices, the consequences of our choices. The world is full of the sickness of sin. People dominating the weak and the vulnerable. People abusing power to get what they want at other people's expense. This is why we're afraid of people, isn't it? And every community is infected by the sickness of sin. School and workplaces see bullying. Much of it is left unpunished, undisciplined. There's domestic abuse, peer pressure, which for some people we know, we've read in the headlines that this can lead to suicide in our schools, our young people. We see discrimination at every level, and so on and so on. And on a personal level, we're afraid of people. We're afraid of what people think of us, of what they can do to us. We're afraid of being judged, of being rejected. Even Christians, maybe especially Christians, because maybe we have higher expectations of what God can do in the world and how God redeems the world. But even Christians, despite God being on our side, we can have sleepless nights. I'm sure I'm not the only one. We can be afraid of people. We can even be afraid of other Christians. The spirit of fear is a big part of our battleground. So God says, do not be afraid. But honestly, we're not going to be able to get rid of all the reasons to be afraid of people. So what is God saying? God tells us not to give in to the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is somewhat different from fear itself. Because the spirit of fear is when fear holds us captive, when it dominates our mind and our spirit. It can paralyze us, stop us from moving forward, stop us from obeying God. The spirit of fear transforms our perspective on life from a godly perspective, which says, I can see that God is good. I can see that God is Lord. I declare that with my lips, and I declare it by how I choose to obey. The spirit of fear moves us to an ungodly perspective. It makes us disobey God. It makes us run away from God. It makes us try to hide from him like Adam and Eve did, like Jonah did. The phrase, do not be afraid, is repeated over and over and over again from the book of Genesis right to the book of Revelation. When God says, do not be afraid, he's not asking his people to recklessly disregard danger. He's not saying there is nothing to be afraid of, because there are, and he knows that. And if you read scripture, you see that God says, do not be afraid, when he's asking his people to obey him, to do a task that might seem beyond their strength, to go outside of their comfort zone, out of a place that they see as being safe and secure. And he knows that we are inclined to be afraid, but he wants us to know that he's with us. He wants to encourage us and assure us of the real truth that sometimes our eyes cannot see. In fact, without spiritual sight, we will not be able to see it. We can overcome, even when it's tough, because he is with us and he's for us. Isn't that true? Now, one of the most memorable instances in the Bible of the people of God giving into the fear of people is when the Israelites are in the desert. And God has just delivered them out of Egypt, and he's delivered them from slavery. And now he is leading them by his servant Moses into the promised land, the land of Canaan, that God has already promised and said, I have given you this land. It is for you. God promises the people that he will be fighting for them as they go into the land. In Numbers 13 and 14, Moses sends 12 scouts. Now, if you went to the kind of Sunday school that I went to, you'll have learned a silly wee song about the 12 spies that went into Canaan. I'm not going to sing it as a song in the spirit, I promise you. I'm tempted. But Moses sends these 12 scouts out into the land of Canaan to see what the Israelites are up against. Now, 10 of the scouts come back and they report about the people of Canaan. And they say, they are giants, they're enormous, they are fierce and strong, they're stronger than us. And they tell the people, we cannot win against these people because they're too strong for us, they're too fierce for us, we cannot do it, despite God having said that he will enable them to succeed. And only two of the scouts, Joshua and Caleb, report to the people the perspective that God has, God's perspective, that is actually just as real as what the 10 scouts report back. Joshua and Caleb say, you know what? We've gone into the land and it's exactly as God said it would be. Can you see how different that perspective is? The negative of just looking at all the negatives and the fear and the reasons to fear. And then Joshua and Caleb saying, you know what? We went in remembering God's promise. And we've come out seeing that God, what he said about the land is true. It's full of goodness. It's full of fruit. It's full of all the things that he said it would be. Yes, the people are strong. They admit that. But Joshua and Caleb remind the people of God's promise. In Numbers 14, 6 to 9, Joshua pleads with the Israelites not to give in to the fear of people, not to give in to faithlessness. He says, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. That's the sort of bit in the Old Testament that I don't kind of like, but never mind. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the people, listen, they kind of like go with their odds. Naturally speaking, if you've got 10 people saying one thing and 2 people saying another, who are you going to most likely listen to? So they listen to the 10. And they actually get angry with Moses and with God for asking them to do something that seems impossible. They forget what God has done for them in the past. They forget how good and strong he is. They forget the fact that he's never let them down in all the promises that he's given to them. Even though Joshua and Caleb are giving them a present reminder of the promises of God. They even say that they'd rather be slaves back in Egypt than face what God is asking them to do. They just won't listen to God's message and they won't obey him. They give in to the fear of people. Because for them, that fear is reasonable. Their enemies are too strong. The task is too difficult. Sadly, the Israelites end up wandering around the desert for 40 more years because of their faithless fear. And perhaps it took them 40 years to realize that's why they were wandering in the desert. Not because God wasn't strong enough, but because they gave in to fear rather than faithfully and fearlessly obeyed God whom they could trust. And after 40 years, they're back. And the message is still the same. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. It's one of the strongest, the most amazing texts in the Bible. It's actually, I remember what Stuart preached on when he came to preach with a view. Joshua 1 verse 9 says, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he was. When they obeyed God, they achieved everything that God said that they could do in his strength. Now, this story will painfully resonate with us, won't it? That's why we can remember it so easily. That's why Joshua 1 verse 9 is such a strong text in the Bible for us. Because we know that there are times where we know that God has spoken to us. And we've just said, no, I cannot. I just can't do it. It's too much for me. It's too strong for me. Now, for each of us, that will be different. Well, each of us will be able to say, this thing is too big. This fear is too big for me to conquer. I cannot do it. Thankfully, like the Israelites, we get second chances. We're given the mercy and grace of God. Because Jesus is calling his followers to do exactly the same thing, to have exactly the same fearless faith and obedience. But he also gives the same faithful promise. John 14:27 is just such a precious verse. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. He's quick to point that out, Jesus. This is not a worldly perspective. This is the perspective of God. I don't give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. God tells us not to be afraid because he knows what we're like, that fear comes naturally to us. It is a natural instinct. But how do we learn these spiritual instincts? These spiritual instincts to obey fearlessly. Because God wants our response to fear to be dependence on him. Every time God says in the Bible, do not be afraid, which is over and over and over and over again, he follows it by saying, I am with you. He follows it by saying, I've got a plan. He says, I have got a future for you. And I have got a will to bless you. The spirit of fear, no matter how it might look, is nowhere near, not even remotely, as great and awesome and powerful and true and strong and faithful as the spirit of the living God, who gives us faith and calms our fears. The only way that the spirit of fear has power in our life is if we give in to it rather than resist. Whenever God asks us to do something that requires stepping out of our comfort zone, stepping out of our what we perceive to be safety, stepping into faith and courage. He's not asking for the impossible, because he will fight with us and for us, because he makes it possible. And we need to hear this, don't we? Because we have got a purpose in life. And we've got a calling. We've been asked to offer up our lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our act of worship, our daily act of worship, as Romans 12 verse 1 says. And we've been called to fulfill Jesus' great commission, to make disciples of all nations, as Jesus commands in Matthew 28. It's a big task, but God makes it possible. And let's not fall into the sin of the Israelites in forgetting that God is good and has always been God. Forgetting that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because 2,000 years have gone by, and what God has told us that he's going to do through his people, he has done through his people. There are generation after generation after generation of people who have walked in fearless obedience and fearless faith, sharing the gospel in really difficult places, taking it to places that, from a natural point of view, they would have had no reason to be there. But God made it possible. And it's still happening. It's still happening over the world, and we're just called to be part of it. We're called to see things from God's perspective, to not give in to the spirit of fear of people, but to walk in fearless obedience, to fulfill our purpose in life, to complete that calling that we've been given. Our main text today, you'll have thought I've already gone through quite a lot, but our main text today is in Matthew chapter 10. So if you've got Bibles, it won't be up on the screen unless Ian can work wonders. So in Matthew chapter 10, if you've got Bibles, then please turn to it. We're going to start from verse 16. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I absolutely love this version. So if you've got a different version, you might just want to listen, but it's good to have it there for reference, as I'm going to keep referring through the passage. We're going to work our way through it to see what Jesus has got to say to his church about not being afraid of people and walking in fearless obedience. Because this text, although it was said to his disciples as they were being sent out into the villages and towns of Israel, is just as much for us. So let's read it from verse 16. "Look," says Jesus, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves," or innocent as doves. "But be aware and beware, for you will be handed over to the courts, and you will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you're arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it's not you who will be speaking. It'll be the spirit of your father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. Children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you've reached all the towns in Israel. Students aren't greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher. Slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of this household at Hillcliff, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household, at Hillcliff even, will be called by even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than a whole flock of sparrows to God. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. We'll stop there. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? This is a message for all the people of God. Maybe not in the same context. Well, of course not in the same context, because we don't face the same things that the early church were facing. But it's a message for all the people, because we're all called to share the good news about Jesus, every single one of us. Jesus says we're given opportunities to share him, even with leaders. And rather than seeing this as being a negative, as being something to fear, like the 10 scouts did, let's be like Joshua and Caleb and learn from them. Let's see it as opportunities to fulfill what God has already said he's done. We get opportunities to transform people's lives. How awesome is that? Matthew 10 also reveals good reasons to be afraid of people. Jesus says he's sending his followers out like sheep among wolves. I mean, of course sheep are going to be afraid. Sheep are already pretty scaredy cats, aren't they? But they're afraid of wolves because wolves will eat them. So it's a good instinct to have, isn't it? But Jesus is saying we're different. We're different from natural sheep because we've got a good shepherd. And he's given us some really good advice here. He says, don't leave yourselves vulnerable like sheep. He tells us to be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as a dove, or harmless as a dove. So shrewd as a snake in the sense that we need to be on our guard, as verse 18 says. Be aware of danger. Anticipate danger. Avoid it where possible. So don't do stupid things in your kind of like foolish attempt to kind of get a wee tick in your box if I've shared the gospel. The early bishops, I can't remember which one, but there was a bishop that had to send a letter to the church saying, can you stop trying to get martyred? Because martyrdom became like a really, really groovy thing to do. And actually, we find that really awful because we know what suicide bombers do and what they're capable of in other parts of the world. And actually, it's been quite close to home, hasn't it, recently in the last few years for us. But there were Christians who kind of like thought, oh, being a martyr, that's so cool. I get like extra blessings and extra rewards in heaven. So they actually put themselves in danger. They put themselves in a place where the authorities had no other thing that they could do than to execute them. And the bishops had to say, please stop doing that. That's just dumb. I think those were the words. But now we could probably say that there are foolish things, equally foolish things to do. Some people might say, I am doing it for the Lord. But say if you go into a very dangerous country and you've got a big suitcase of Bibles and you get to a public place and you start handing them out, for Jesus, for Jesus, for Jesus. Well, actually, the authorities will come and they've got every right to come, and you probably won't be the only one to be put in prison. But anyone who has had contact with you is in danger as well. So Jesus is saying, don't walk into stupid danger. But I think for us, the sort of things that we need to be shrewd about, I am really aware of this. Just You know, even talking to high school Bible study kids about the sort of conversations that tend to be repeated over and over again in schools. But even for us, we will be aware of this. We can end up going down rabbit holes of debate about sexuality, science, the validity and veracity of the Bible. And we've got to be careful how we do that. We are here to honour the Lord Jesus in every way possible. As Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, wherever possible, be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. But actually, we've got to be careful that we don't go down rabbit holes. It is possible to get into a debate about sexuality or about science and religion without once mentioning to people, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. He died for me. That is the most amazing story you can ever hear. It's the most amazing truth you can ever hear. So let's be shrewd. Let's be careful how we speak, how we share our faith. That's why events like Tuesday's workplace event that Tim was talking about is so important. Because we are called to be like Jesus in the workplace. We are given opportunities to share Jesus. But how do we do that? How do we do that properly? How do we do that carefully, shrewdly, wisely? So everybody go along to that event, because then you will actually get help to work out how to do that. And it'll be good. It'll be good for you. We're told to be as innocent as doves. And I think what Jesus means here is keep your purity and your integrity. When you are faced by opposition, don't resort to wolfish tactics. Don't feel like somebody is offensive to you, so you just be offensive back. Because Jesus says the opposite. Turn the other cheek. There are certain things in life that, you know what? Don't fight my battles that way. I didn't. He was like a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't even open his mouth. He opened his mouth at the right times with wisdom and grace and truth. But there were times where he didn't, where he knew that actually this isn't the moment to speak. Because he knew that God the Father was his vindication. God the Father would justify everything that Christ did. And it's true for us. In verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, don't fret about what you're going to say in front of people. Don't fret about justifying or vindicating yourself. When you're getting tempted to feel a bit hard done by because people are saying that they're slandering you, they're slagging you off, just remember Jesus' words, be innocent as doves. Don't feel like you have to justify yourself or vindicate yourself. Instead, let the Spirit of God be your witness. The way that he was for Christ, it's powerful, isn't it? That Christ, this innocent man, this truly pure and good and sinless man, he went to the cross. He suffered that travesty of justice and he did not open his mouth. And he's saying, you know what? There are some battles that you shouldn't fight because you'll be fighting them like a wolf, not a dove. And I think God is saying, you know, it might feel personal to you when people say bad things about you, but they're actually doing it because you love me, because you're my follower. So what God is saying is, let me vindicate you. I will do it. It might not be in the time that is pain-free. It might not be in a time that feels comfortable for you, but he will do it. God is on trial, really, not us. So let's not take it personally to the point where we lash out at people, because Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And people are in darkness and people will attack us. And they won't even know why they're attacking us. They'll just know that they feel threatened because they are overcome by the spirit of fear themselves. So let's be aware of that and let's be as innocent as doves in it. Verses 20 to 23. Jesus gives lots of reasons to be afraid of people. Death. Imprisonment. But things that we might be able to identify with a wee bit more. Who wants to be divided from their family? Who wants to be hated and ostracized? Who wants to be called names? Who wants to be belittled? Who wants to be persecuted in any way? Nobody. Nobody wants to go through that. But Jesus says you will. if you speak out for me. And Christians in the world now are facing death and imprisonment and hardship and unemployment because they're Christians. And many people, even in our church, have faced the pain of family members or loved ones being hostile to them because they believe in Jesus and they believe in the resurrection and they believe in eternal life. We know people that have been disowned by their family. It's horrible. Many of us have experienced the social suicide of bringing up Jesus or trying to talk about the gospel, trying to invite someone to Alpha, and you've got that tumbleweed moment, and then maybe people just move away from you and things are never quite the same again. Nobody likes rejection. I struggle with it. I don't like rejection. It's one of those things. You want to be safe, don't you? You want to be secure. So actually being rejected by people is against our instincts. It's natural for us to want to avoid that. But Jesus is saying you can't. If you follow me, you won't be able to avoid it. Despite the consequences, Jesus commands us to share our faith for a very, very good reason. The reason that he went to the cross. It is to bring people out of darkness into the light of Christ. To let people know about the mercy and the grace of God. He says, no servant is greater than their master. So if Jesus was persecuted, if he was called the prince of demons, we're going to get the same kind of stuff. So no matter how offended we are, there is no excuse for not speaking out. And Jesus gives plenty of reasons why not to give in to the fear of people. And they're pretty amazing. I had a pretty good time this week reading this passage. I felt so blessed. So here are some of the reasons that Jesus says, don't give in to the spirit of fear. Verse 22. All those who persevere to the end and who complete the task and share their faith will be saved. Hurrah. Those who speak for Jesus are on God's side, the side of truth and justice and mercy and salvation and grace. The side that is victorious. Thank you, Lord. Verse 26, another reason not to be afraid of people is because God is God. And God sees everything. And he will judge everything that is done against him and his people. There might be times even now where we can think that rather than asking for justice, we want mercy. People in our lives that have bad-mouthed us or have turned away or ostracized us for our faith, where actually we know that at the end of the day, we'd rather they were shown the mercy of God than face the wrath of the living God. Because he sees everything and everything will be revealed for what it is. Because verse 28 says, don't be afraid of those that can destroy the body. Be afraid of the one who can send body and soul to hell. People may be able to hurt us in this life, but God has the keys to heaven and hell. He has our eternal future secure in his hands. He's the one to fear. Now, it might seem strange talking about fear, that some fear is good, but we've already said that. There are some instincts that are good that make us know what to avoid. And here is one instinct for fear, which is good. Fear the Lord, because it's the beginning of wisdom, as Psalm 111 says. It's a natural instinct to protect and fear for your life. But there is a greater picture. Life is more than what our eyes can see. God is Lord of life and our eternal future. No matter how much people may influence us, none of the people that have an influence in your life and that have an impact on it, for good and bad, none of them is your Lord. God is your Lord. And we will give an account of our actions to God when we see him face to face. It's meant to be a really cool thought, isn't it? He cares deeply about what we do with our lives because he's given us a purpose. And another reason not to fear is found in verses 30 and 31. We are so precious to God. He's our Father, and we're loved by him. He knows every hair on our head. And I know that some people might joke that they're kind of like pretty bald, and so maybe they're not loved very much. But actually, that is not what it's saying, is it? We are so loved. Everything about us. Everything about us. God knows. And he loves us. He cares for us infinitely. Don't be afraid, because God cares for you. And this is my favourite bit. In verse 32. I was reading it the other day, and I was just totally super overwhelmed by this promise. Jesus says that whenever someone acknowledges him before others, he acknowledges before his Father. I just had like a total happy moment with God this week thinking about this, because actually it came at a good time for me, because there's times where I get so despondent thinking, and I won't be there, I bet Pam understands how I feel, because you know, Pam has asked people to come to Alpha and has had the disappointment of folks not coming. And you know what? It's not all about Alpha. Alpha isn't Jesus. But actually, there'll be times where you've tried to talk to people about Jesus and the response has been really disappointing. And over the years, I've thought, God, am I doing something wrong? Because I really want to share you with people. But why is there no response? And I've got quite demoralized about it. But here, Jesus is saying, no matter what the response is, when... Stop crying. Not to, sorry. Can you imagine when you share... The Father and the Son are talking about you in heaven. They're saying, oh, it's so cool. I'm so happy they've really listened to me. They're obeying me. It's so cool. Yeah? So whenever you do that, when it is really hard, when you feel like I am way out of my comfort zone, just remember what is happening in the throne room of heaven. And even better, you might be part of another super awesome thing in heaven, which is the angels having a party when someone gives their life to Jesus. So Pam, be encouraged. Everyone, be encouraged. When you acknowledge Jesus before others, he acknowledges you before the Father. Be blessed, be encouraged. We're having such a good time at the moment, so encouraged by the response to mission events and Alpha. It's brilliant. God wants more of it. He wants more of it. And so do we. The Apostle Peter says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. If we honour him in our hearts, then we will honour him in how we speak too. But if we don't or won't share the good news about Jesus, even if it seems like a reasonable fear, remember that we're following the ways of the Israelites, we'll end up wandering in a spiritual wilderness because it's not God's will for us. God says, do not be afraid. I am with you, even to the ends of the age. Take it seriously. God loves the world. He wants us to share that love with others. Whatever feelings of shyness or awkwardness or reluctance, whatever laziness or ignorance we might be able to admit to ourselves, whatever fear keeps us from sharing the good news with those around us, it doesn't excuse disobeying God. Matthew 10, verse 33 is really hard. Jesus says, whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Now, of course, he's speaking about that ultimate decision that people make to reject Christ. And I hope that none of us are guilty of that sin of disowning Christ. But we might be guilty of the sin of omission. Just not letting people know that we're Christians. We don't let him be part of our conversations or our relationships. We don't let him influence our relationships. Kind of, this is serious. Jesus' words are a wake-up call to us. we can either have the blessing of being acknowledged in heaven as being his servants. In the spectrum between disowning Christ and acknowledging him, let's not teeter on the fence. Let's just weigh and truly go over to that way. It's pretty serious stuff. God has given us the treasures of the kingdom of heaven, not so that we can hoard them and keep them to ourselves, but so that we can share them. Fear isn't an excuse for being silent, because God says, don't be afraid. Fear can drive out love for God and for the lost. The Apostle John says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Fear has to do with punishment. So maybe we're afraid that God is making us lose out on life by speaking out for him and serving him. Maybe we're afraid of losing friends, losing faith, losing fortune. I wanted a bit of alliteration there. When we doubt him and distrust him and disobey him, the spirit of fear begins to take over and bind us up, not the spirit of the living God. This is what's going to happen. This is the consequence of actually believing that God doesn't want the best for us. But living in God's love brings freedom. I love that song, Stand in Your Love. My fear does not stand a chance when I stand in your love. It doesn't stand a chance. Because perfect love, the way that God loves us, drives out fear. It can't stop. It can't stay. It can't stay in the presence of the love of God. Are you conscious that fear has too much influence over your heart and mind? Fear of what people may think of you, or judge you, or say about you, or do to you. We're not going to face death, are we, if we acknowledge Jesus? But we may face a bit of a tweak in our friendships. We may face worse than that. We will face actual pain. I do believe that. I don't think any of us are going to miss that. Because Jesus says that the world hates me. So if we try and share him, it's going to hate us too. But not everybody. Because there will be people that will come into the light. And that's what we want, isn't it? So we need to not be afraid of people, because if we're afraid of people, we will miss out on the best story ever and the best plan ever. Trusting God can change the spirit of fear to the spirit of freedom. But it starts by knowing that God loves us and that he wants the best for us. And when we know and believe that God doesn't ask us to do anything that doesn't have an amazing consequence, when we believe that, we can obey fearlessly, because we don't need to be afraid of God, because he's got our soul and he's got our interests at heart. The spirit of fear is a weapon that Satan will use to undermine our witness for Jesus. But we've not been given the spirit of fear by God. We've been given the spirit of God. How amazing! What an amazing privilege! Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live again in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father, the cry of dependence, the cry of trust. A baby in its parents' arms is not afraid, because it's kept safe in the everlasting arms of Christ. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? 8:37. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:39. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:28. God is for us, working for us and in us, working everything together for the good of those who love him. So when we believe these truths, fear is driven out. It doesn't stand a chance. And we can obey God fearlessly. To obey fearlessly doesn't remove consequences. But obedience to God will transform our lives and our relationships and our choices. Fearless obedience is when we obey God no matter what the consequences are, because we know that the gain is greater than any loss we might perceive. Because God works all things together for the good of those who love him. God is saying to us, his people at Hillcliff, do not be afraid, I am with you. And what is our response? Well, Psalm 56 says this, and let this be our response and our prayer. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can people do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. I don't think that's the voice of God. It's okay, no worries. Anyway, bless you. I know that there's been a lot of deep stuff in that. Thank you for being patient and for listening. I would really hope that that we can trust each other enough and not be afraid of each other enough and love each other enough to know that if we're struggling with fear, that we can help each other to be delivered from that and to walk in the truth and the grace and the salvation of God, because God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Praise his name. I think we're going to sing another couple.